Please turn in your Bibles once again to the book of Ezekiel, to the third chapter, and we'll be reading from verse 12 in Ezekiel chapter 3 until the end of the chapter. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Hear God's word. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard a great rumbling sound behind me. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in His place. And I heard the sound of the wings of the living beings touching one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, even a great rumbling sound. So the Spirit lifted me up, and I took me away. And I went embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on me. Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Kabar at Tel Aviv. And I sat there 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. At the end of the 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear the word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that he may live, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from the wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man, and the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself. The hand of the Lord was on me there, and he said to me, Get up, go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you. So I got up and went out to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory which I saw by the river Kabar, and I fell on my face. The Spirit entered me and made me stand on my feet, and he spoke with me and said to me, Go shut yourself up in your house. As for you, son of man, they will put ropes on you and bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. Moreover, I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth, so that you will be mute and cannot be a man who rebukes them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth, and you will say to them, Thus says the Lord God, He who hears, let him hear. He who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for your word. We give you praise that you have been pleased to give it to us. And we thank you for the prophet Ezekiel. We pray now that you would enlighten our minds, open our hearts, and give us understanding of your good word, which is before us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Willow Creek Community Church in the suburbs of Chicago is at the forefront of what has come to be known as seeker-sensitive worship and outreach. Part of their program is to have as many activities as possible and invite as many people as possible to those activities, and they count their success in discipleship in the number of people that they have coming to those various activities. That is their rationale. Last year, they undertook a self-study. And in that self-study, they learned that they had made a great mistake. That the number of people coming to various activities is not the index of discipleship. That people studying the Word of God and learning the truth of the Word of God and coming into a vital connection with Jesus Christ is the index of discipleship. Well, I could have suggested to them that they simply look at the Great Commission, and they might have discerned that that was the case. That teaching all that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, is the Great Commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. And ministry, gospel ministry, is not to be centered on numbering people and examining how many people you can get to a meeting, but it involves the presentation of the truth of God and the teaching of the Word of God. And when we dip into Ezekiel in the third chapter, this is exactly what we begin to see. That real ministry is prophetic ministry. And that real ministry, gospel ministry, is prophetic ministry that warns individuals about sin and warns the wicked and warns the righteous and presents Jesus Christ to them. This is the center of ministry. And this is the point I want you to get this morning. I'm just giving you one point, not 2 points or 3 points, but one point. Gospel ministry is prophetic ministry. And so the call to you and to me is to warn the wicked and to warn the righteous and to present Jesus Christ to them. This is what the church ought to be about. Please look at Ezekiel chapter 3 with me and let's see how this lesson emerges from the text. First of all, God, through Jesus Christ, once again appears to Ezekiel to confirm Ezekiel's prophetic ministry. Look at with me, if you would, at verses 12 and 13 of chapter 3. Then the Spirit of the Lord lifted me up, and I heard a great rumbling sound behind me. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in His place. And I heard the sound of the wings of the living beings touching one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, even a great rumbling sound. Here again, Jesus Christ appears to the prophet Ezekiel, as He did originally, and as we saw in chapter 1. That great chariot throne. And there is an exclamation that comes in verse 12. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in His place. This, it seems, is the exclamation of Ezekiel as he sees the vision of Jesus Christ once again. And Jesus comes to confirm Ezekiel's prophetic ministry. And isn't that how our Lord acts even in this day? To come and confirm to the likes of you and me the ministry to which He calls us. The book of Revelation relates the church as candelabra in the first chapter. And the churches, therefore, are to be lights in the world and to affect ministry which pushes back the darkness of the world. This is prophetic ministry. And Jesus Christ, through His Word, confirms to us today
that we are to be involved in this prophetic ministry. You as a church are to be involved in this prophetic ministry. You are not to put your light under a bushel and hide it, but your light as a church and as a congregation is to shine in the darkness of this world. And so Jesus Christ, in a sense, is coming to you this morning and confirming to you through Ezekiel and through your humble servant that it is a prophetic ministry to which Jesus Christ, the King and Lord of the church, is calling you and me. And then we notice that as Christ approaches Ezekiel, that Ezekiel falls back, as it were, that he is not a prophet sent on a mission eager to go forth and condemn his own people in the sight of God. No. Look with me, if you would, at verses 14 and 15. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on me. Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Kabar at Tel Aviv, and I sat there 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. The Spirit of the Lord lifts him up and sets him in the midst of his people in this village, Tel Aviv. And the word tel is mound, and the village is likely a little village that was on a floodplain next to the river Kabar, which was a canal that connected two parts of the Euphrates River. And this was an area that was often flooded, and so it was a flooded village into which Christ placed Ezekiel with the exiles. This was no pleasant situation. We might remember Hurricane Katrina and that which took place along the Gulf Coast in Louisiana and in Mississippi, the devastation that took place along the Gulf Coast. And it was a similar situation into which Christ put the exiles and into which Christ put Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, the text tells us in verse 14, I went embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was upon me. Some of the commentators indicate that this was the rage of God against the people. Perhaps not. Perhaps it was actually Ezekiel himself who, as I have already said, is pulling back, embittered. He does not want to go forward to preach judgment against his own people. Look at verse 8 in chapter 2. Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you, and do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Here is a warning to Ezekiel himself not to be rebellious. And so what happens? Verse 15 again. Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Kabar at Tel Aviv, and I sat there 7 days and where they were living, causing, the New American Standard Version says, causing consternation among them. Many of you have the English Standard Version, and it says overwhelmed, that Ezekiel was overwhelmed. The King James Version says he was astonished. He was stunned. And he took 7 days to sit and contemplate and think through and to pray over the ministry to which Jesus Christ was calling him. This is a far cry from seeker-sensitive ministry, isn't it? Very interesting. And isn't it true that very often what you have to do and what I have to do when the hand of Christ comes upon us, so we have to take a step back and take time to contemplate and to think through the ministry that God has for us. Confirmations are terribly important to ministry. And this is part of what's taking place as we look at Ezekiel. And there's a huge mix of emotion in this man. Again, the New American Standard Version says he was causing consternation. And I would guess this was the case as he sat silently for 7 days among those people, the exiles. But Christ wasn't finished with him. Christ comes again after that 7 day period. Look at verse 16. At the end of the 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. And then drop down in the text to verse 22. The hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, "Get up, go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you." So I got up and went out to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory which I saw by the river Kabar, and I fell on my face. Compare with that, if you would, verse 28 in chapter 1. Verse 28 in chapter 1. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face. And surely this would be the case as Jesus Christ once again presents himself in glory to Ezekiel a third time. And you might ask, why is it that Christ would come to him a third time? And I think the answer is quite simple, actually. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And so Christ appears this third time to confirm Ezekiel's call. When pastors are called into the ministry, there is a threefold work of Christ that takes place. There is a conviction in the man's heart. Yes, Jesus Christ is calling me. Then there is a certain course of study that the man must go through. A certification process, if you will. A course of study. And when that course of study is accomplished, in our circles, the man stands before presbytery and gives an account. And presbytery puts its stamp of approval on the man. And that certification process is completed. And then there comes a call, a third thing, a call from a congregation. And you know, this is exactly how it works in other vocations too. When you have a burden on your heart to carry out a particular activity and to do a particular kind of work, what do? The second thing you do after Christ gives you that desire in your heart is you enter on a course of study so that you can be certified in that work you sense Christ is calling you to. And then what happens? You go to find a job. And guess what? That employer embraces you and confirms the fact, yes, your training is adequate. And that call that is on your heart is a proper call. Those three things happen. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And so it was with the prophet Ezekiel. And after these confirmations come, and after a time of contemplation, Jesus Christ comes to Ezekiel with His Word and tells him more particularly what His ministry is to be about. Look at verse 17 with me, if you would. Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Here is the work, Ezekiel. You are to be a watchman in the nation. And the watchman was the individual who stood on the high hill, or stood on the gates and the wall of the city, or stood on a tower as a lookout. And he would watch for the coming of the enemy, and he would warn the people of the coming of the enemy. But the startling thing in this text is, as you look at it, this was not any common enemy who was coming. This was God Himself who was coming against the people. God Himself was the enemy. Look again at verse 17. Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. Warn them from me, Ezekiel. The problem was, and you may remember some of the history here, the problem was that the exiles in Babylon were there while the city of Jerusalem was still standing. And Jeremiah was back there in Jerusalem prophesying the ultimate destruction of Jerusalem. And God raised up Ezekiel among the exiles to confirm the word of Jeremiah. And the people were a rebellious people in exile. They did not believe that Jerusalem would fall. They had a vague and shallow hope that God would deliver Jerusalem. And so God, through His Son Jesus Christ, is saying to Ezekiel, warn them from me. Warn the wicked from me, because I am coming and I will judge Jerusalem. And that temple which is the desire of your eyes will be destroyed. The work of the watchman, friends, the work of the watchman is to warn the wicked that God Himself is the one who will come and judge and destroy if you do not turn and repent. God will judge. And those who are outside of Christ, will fall into the hands of the living God in eternal wrath and hell. And the only solution is to turn to Jesus Christ, who Himself took in His own body on the cross the awful wrath of God, so that he himself cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he cried those words, friends, so that the likes of you and me, who do trust in Jesus Christ and his saving work on the cross, would never have to utter similar words and never have to say, Lord, why have you forsaken me? No. The work of the watchman is to warn the wicked. And when you accomplish the work of the watchman, the text says to you and to me, you deliver yourself from blood guiltiness. And that means, friends, that you have an awesome responsibility, and I have an awesome responsibility. Let's look at our text again. Verse 20. Again, when the righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle or a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning and you have delivered yourself. The righteous person here is the person within the pale of the visible church who has made a profession of faith. But that profession of faith may be simply an outward profession that is not heartfelt. And this person is depending upon his own goodness and his own righteousness to give him or her right standing before God. And may I say, dear friends, this could be a person like you or me who sits in the church, comes to the services regularly, attends the extra meetings, comes to prayer meeting, is faithful in Sunday school, and then when asked the crucial question, why would God let you into his heaven? You might say, I've gone to church all my life. I've been a relatively good person. I've gone to Sunday school. I've done all the right things. Surely God will accept me into his heaven. And the work of the watchman, friends, is to warn against such a posture that what you do is not the basis for God receiving you. And what I do, it is only the merit of Jesus Christ. His good work applied to your life by faith that makes you acceptable in the sight of God. Nothing else. It isn't the work of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ plus some good works. There is a spurious heresy that is lurking in the church today, the new perspective on Paul, which says, oh yes, you can believe in Jesus, that's a good thing, but you must add your good works. And that is the Romish heresy from which the men and women of the Reformation fled. And the work of the watchman is to warn that such a posture is not acceptable to God, but only the righteousness of Jesus Christ, freely given to you and to me on the basis of the gift of faith, gives you right standing before God. And so, friend, if you are in that category, you need to come to Christ. You need to repent of your sin. You need to turn to Jesus Christ and trust not your own good works, but the work of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ alone. This is the work of the watchman, to warn and to present Christ. Now, I'd like you to see one other thing in our text. And it comes toward the end of the chapter, verses 25 and following. As for you, son of man, they will put ropes on you and bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. Moreover, I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be mute and cannot be a man who rebukes them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth and you will say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear. He who refuses, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious house. The first activity into which Christ calls Ezekiel is a rather strange activity. Go into your house, and you're going to be bound, tied up, and I'm going to cause your tongue to stick to the roof of your mouth so that you cannot speak, and you will only speak as I give to you direct orders to do so. This must have been quite a scene, as the people would come to Ezekiel's house and they would observe him bound in his own house, unable to speak. And the message to the exiles was simply this: the word of God has been taken from you. The word of God has been removed from you, which signaled their doom. Thank God his word has not been removed from you and me. Thank God this is the case. And thank God that although Ezekiel was mute, and as he was mute, spoke a message of judgment, you, friends, are perfectly capable of speaking and must not be mute. You must carry out the work of the watchman and warn the wicked and the righteous, and present Jesus Christ to them. This is the gospel and the biblical imperative. And gospel ministry, you see, is prophetic ministry, which warns and also presents Christ. And so this morning, by way of Ezekiel, you have a confirmation of this ministry, and I have a confirmation of this ministry. A curious thing has happened at Willow Creek Community Church. As a result of their self-study program and their learning that they have made a great mistake, guess what they are doing? They are entering upon a new program to encourage other churches to do a similar self-study as they have done. And they are erecting a great big structure in order to encourage other churches to enter into this new program. I submit to you, friends, that the real program ought to be God's program. That the real program ought to be God's program of prophetic ministry and gospel ministry. As we have seen, is prophetic ministry, warning both the righteous and the wicked, and calling men and women to come to Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I am encouraging you to enter upon and pray for this congregation, that it will be a church that does enter into gospel ministry, that is, prophetic ministry, warning the wicked and the righteous, and presenting Jesus Christ to them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that you are good and gracious to us in every respect. Thank you, Father, that as we sit before you, we desire to be people who are not as the exiles of old, a rebellious people, but a people who are ready to listen and act upon your word. And so we pray, Father, that you would make us a gospel church, a prophetic church, a church that warns the wicked and the righteous about their sin and presents Jesus Christ. And I pray as this congregation commits itself to do this very thing, Father, that you will be pleased to cause your good hand of blessing to rest upon her and to cause her to grow and to prosper. Grant it, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.